Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang.
This week, let's dive a little bit deeper into the endometriosis picture. So last week, we talked about how endometriosis can affect fertility and pregnancy outcomes. But this week, let's talk a bit more about what's really underneath endometriosis and why it's a whole body condition. So, Kate, what do we actually know about the causes of endometriosis?
It appears to be multifactorial, including endometrial tissue growing where it shouldn't, altered immunity, imbalanced cell growth and death, abnormal endocrine or hormone signaling, and genetic factors.
So that sounds nice and simple.
Yeah.
I think most people typically just think of the endometrial tissue growing where it shouldn't be growing. But what you're saying really is that this is a whole body disease, right? It's not just an issue with endometrium.
Exactly. It's hypothesized that even minimal and mild endometriosis is associated with an inflammatory response that results from overproduction of these fancy named inflammatory bad girls like prostaglandins and immune cells. And then that resultant inflammatory process impairs ovarian, tubal, and endometrial function and leads to defective making and maturing of the follicle. It affects fertilization and implantation. And there also may be some progesterone resistance that's involved.
Oh my gosh. So Basically everything is going on.
Right. Exactly. Because those cells are in many parts of the body, not just in the endometrium.
And so if there's, you know, a potential that there's progesterone resistance, then what we're basically seeing is a pattern of too high estrogens and too high inflammation, and those combine to create this kind of perfect storm.
Right. I'm also interested in SNPs as the genetic piece. Let's delve into some interesting notes about genetics if you have some.
Yeah, actually. So there's really great research linking endometriosis to gene SNPs involved with antioxidant function, like glutathione peroxidase or GPX. Also SOD or superoxide dismutase have been proposed for use as biomarkers because free radical levels are actually so elevated in endometriosis that in and of itself is almost characteristic of the disease. So in addition to this antioxidant function that's very often implicated with the GPX gene or the SOD gene, there's this free radical piece as well. And the research shows a really strong association with other pain syndromes, which isn't especially surprising given the level of inflammation that's happening, right? So things like migraines are highly associated with endometriosis, as are autoimmune diseases and also irritable bowel syndrome, right? So it's just one big inflammatory oxidative stress mix.
Whew, yeah, these women can be experiencing a lot of pain. And to extend on your point about associated autoimmune conditions, a meta-analysis noted associations between endo and various autoimmune diseases, including lupus, SLE, Sjögren's, rheumatoid arthritis, celiac disease, MS, and inflammatory bowel disease. So many different autoimmune diseases.
Wow. That's absolutely crazy. That is just, you know, I mean, it's kind of, it makes sense, right? Because autoimmune diseases are also very strongly inflammatory, and it's unclear which part of the process begins first, right? Whether it's an inflammatory condition causing autoimmunity or an autoimmune condition causing inflammation.
Right. Which kind of takes us back to our point that yes, you can do a laparoscopy. Yes, you can do IVF to help with the infertility. But if you're not correcting these underlying causes, you're not necessarily going to get the same positive change that you would get if you're addressing all these underlying causes.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I do want to say too, that endometriosis has a strong genetic component and often does run through families. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking before about the gene SNPs. The glutathione peroxidase, we have talked about that in other podcast episodes, but there's also associations with TXN2 and TXNRD1, which we've never talked about on this podcast. And they're both part of the antioxidant system in your cells, powerhouses the mitochondria, which also mitochondrial dysfunction has been implicated in a lot of autoimmune disease as well, or is associated with a lot of autoimmune disease.
So interesting.
I know. And also genes involved with estrogen production and metabolism, including CYP19A1, which is one of the cytochrome genes that helps with estrogen detox, and ESR2 can also be linked to endometriosis, but there isn't a solid, like, this is the gene for endometriosis. Right. It's more like a death by a thousand cuts, where the overall gene picture adds up to something.
Yeah.
In my practice, I think like yours, the main thrust of endometriosis management is to reduce pain, reduce estrogen burden, reduce inflammation, and boost antioxidant function.
Absolutely. And is there a mental health link with endometriosis? I know that there is, but I'd like to talk about it more while we're here together.
Yeah, for sure. So some studies have suggested that there's a higher incidence of depression, anxiety, and stress-related disorders, as well as alcohol or drug dependence and ADHD in women with endometriosis relative to women without endometriosis, and even relative to somebody as close as a biological sister, right? So that really means that, you know, it's not other genes contributing to this problem, or at least not likely. It's more likely actually the endometriosis itself and the process of endometriosis. So it's really important not to overlook that and to get appropriate health in this area. And we will be discussing mental health and fertility in more detail in a future episode. But do you see the mental health link with endometriosis in your patient population?
I absolutely do. I'm on the lookout for it. I'm checking in on it, and I'm referring out for therapy on the regular with these clients. And I'm also kind of normalizing it for them, just checking in and saying, hey, that there is this association. It's okay. I just want you to share with me how you're feeling so that we can get you the help and support that you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that makes a huge difference, because honestly, knowing that something isn't, you're not at fault, quote unquote, mm-hmm. is a really big step in the healing journey, you know, like just knowing that this is associated. It's completely normal and it's okay to feel like that.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kate. I really appreciate it.
As always, love talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening today and sharing your time with us. If you like this show, please follow and maybe even leave a review. Or like and subscribe if you happen to be watching on YouTube. Visit NamesND, NamesND.com, or tohealthwiththat.com for more information about Drs. Kate and me, Dr. Amy.